Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
We're going to be having a very interesting conversation now, hopefully, with Angelo Fick, who's a political and culture analyst. Good afternoon, Angelo. Welcome to the show.
Good afternoon to you and to your listeners.
Thank you so much for giving us of your time and your insight. Very interesting discussion we're going to be having. I think it was sparked by some celebrities posting photos of pit bulls and their pit bull dogs, just cute photos, and amid a spate of fatal maulings that had also perhaps by chance happened with pit bulls, and then this massive outcry. So it's just opened up an interesting discussion, I think, for us to look into is, are we oversensitive when it comes to social media? Like, you know, people take everything personally. If you post a photo of your coffee, it could be, you know, offensive to someone. So, yeah, maybe just give us some insight of what unfolded with the story and the reactions that have come up.
So my sense is that it's a combination of a variety of things, not least the way in which social media platforms have allowed us all to become more famous than we would generally be, because very few of us who are supposedly famous on social media are actually people like Angelina Jolie or Madonna. And so the kind of attention that I think people seek by posting to social media is often a desire to be acknowledged. And in a society like South Africa, where dignity is in short supply, I think people often think fame is a way of getting that dignity. But the problem, as somebody like Alain de Botton points out in his book, News, a User's Manual, is that if you expose yourself looking for supposedly high-grade attention, right, the kind of stuff that makes people like Angelina Jolie famous because she's talented, you also have to put up with the low-grade attention, which is the dragging, the cancelling, etc. And so social media are quite fickle platforms, and today's hero is tomorrow's zero. And I think the turnaround time is much quicker. And many South Africans and many people who aspire to celebrity status are finding out that it's quite difficult to maintain a control over how people perceive you.
Absolutely. So are you saying this mainly happens with celebrities? Are people more vocal when it comes to a celebrity posting something than if it was just a random person on social media?
I think we, the rest of us who aren't celebrities or ordinary people, become aware when we see this kind of attention being given to people with some status, some visibility, some celebrity. But it happens to ordinary people all the time. We know that there are young people who feel bullied, have suicide ideation, because the kind of attention that they're getting on social media is often quite unpleasant. Recent examples of Twitter with the young woman who posted a picture of herself, and immediately she was opened up to horrible critiques of her physical appearance. And even though she was a by no means unattractive person, people chose to focus on what they saw as her shortcomings in relation to the beauty standard. And so it's the risk we all run, that we tend to pay attention when it happens to someone with some prominence. But for every person of some prominence to whom this kind of bullying and unpleasant stuff happens, there are probably thousands of unknown people who quietly slither off into the sunset and don't make a big issue of it outside of their own personal lives, take it to heart and suffer as a consequence of this kind of negative attention.
Yeah, and we often hear, as you said, cancel culture. There's all these new buzzwords. There's also something known as woke culture. Do you think this is an example of woke culture?
No, I don't think that there's anything woke about this particular response. I think this is this week's or this month's obsession, which is the particular sort of, shall we say, crime of the internet, but it will move on to something else. And I think what happens in these scenarios is that we tend to focus, and we're asked to focus, on this kind of moment because it allows the people to express themselves a certain kind of sense of control, right? So they can comment on this, they can critique it and somehow get a little bit of power in that moment of expressing themselves. Now, this is not in itself bad, but what it does reveal is that this is a society in which millions of people feel disempowered in other spaces in which they could do far more productive work that will make themselves feel better, but they don't see those opportunities. The old cliche of the keyboard warrior is that you can focus on this as you can get upset about a shampoo bottle in a supermarket, or the label that is put in an aisle, and you can exercise your rage about that. And you don't then have to do more to change the conditions that make those things possible. So yes, it's absolutely, you know, appalling that dogs are mauling children and elderly people or anybody at all, and that should certainly be dealt with. But I think the outrage about people of some renown posting pictures of their dogs is just the moment in which people can let the valve out, have a bit of a rage, but they're not actually doing anything more substantial about that, which would be to agitate for bylaw change, for better monitoring and dealing with animals as pets in our neighborhoods. That's much harder work than posting quickly on Twitter.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that, I think, is where the rage is useful, but in the very short term.
Yeah, and thank you for following up from our show yesterday. We were actually having a conversation about, do we just complain, you know, and we say we're hutful, nice South African word, but we're not proactive and we don't do anything. And as you're speaking, I'm just thinking of Brent Lindekue. I'm not sure if you know him, the Good Things guy, but he took exactly what you're saying. He took the social media trend that was, I think it was a neck nomination to down a beer and put it on your head or to like that ice bucket. And he straight away said, why don't we make it into a random act of kindness challenge, which completely transformed his life and so many other people's lives. So maybe you can give us some insight into, you know, how we can use social media, even if you are sensitive to this, you could maybe open a discussion of actually starting a conversation rather than a rant.
Yes, absolutely. And also, I think, being clear that you're also giving positive feedback to people and not just negative. So find positive things, things that you agree with that are, you know, about beauty or about expressions of genius. And that will also change your internal kind of mechanism for how you engage with the world, because it can so easily become a space in which we rant, we complain in post office queues, bank queues, on the internet, at dinner tables. And, you know, change that to something that is a lot more like Friday night dinner, where you're also telling people about positive things that have happened to you. And I think many, many people are trying to do that on social media, but it is an uphill battle, but it is worth fighting. That's not to say that things like the mauling of children by dogs is not unacceptable.
Yeah.
But social media may not be the best avenue in which to transform and change that for the better, make children safer, and ensure that the laws and bylaws governing pets and their exchange and trade in our society are improved to make sure that children have a safety.
Absolutely. And thank you so much for joining us this afternoon. That was Angelo Fick, the political and culture analyst.